Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q1 FY22 results call of GHCL Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. R.S. Jalan, Managing Director, and Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director, Finance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Nagraj of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Faizan. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is keeping safe and healthy. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome the GHCL senior management team and thank them for giving us this opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sirs. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. Good evening, everyone. Good evening and a warm welcome on today's earnings call for Q1 FY22. Raman, our CFO, along with Manu and Abhishek from the finance team accompanying me for this call. The analyst presentation has been uploaded on stock exchange and company website. Hope you had a chance to download and go through the same. I hope that you and your loved ones are safe. During the quarter ended June 2021, second wave of COVID hit the nation and spread the infection was very fast. Unlike the initial wave, where a national lockdown was imposed, this time the regional restrictions were in place. As a result, the adverse impact on the Indian economy was less severe. The ongoing vaccination drive should help contain the spread of COVID-19 infection in future. At GHCL, safety of our employee is our key priority. More than 94% of our employees and contract labor has been vaccinated till date. We are providing financial assistance to all our contract laborers and the employees who have lost their lives due to COVID-19 pandemic. Let me now share the business update. Globally, demand for soda ash has recovered, though it was slightly impacted by the reoccurrence of COVID cases in few regions. Cost has increased due to higher energy prices and supply chain disruptions. As a result, soda ash manufacturers have also increased their prices. Due to these factors, import of soda ash into India has reduced. Domestic demand for soda ash has recovered well. Despite some disruption due to COVID second wave, flat glass continues to remain strong due to demand from construction and solar glass segment. Recovery in container glass is slow due to subdued activities in hospitality and tourism sectors. The detergent industry was impacted in April and May, but is now operating at pre-COVID level. Increase in raw material and energy prices have adversely impacted our margin. However, this was partially offset by price increase effective from June. We have undertaken another price increase in the month of July. With a good demand scenario and lack of new capacity addition in near future, we expect prices to remain firm going forward. Home textile industry continues to see strong demand from various markets, including U.S. However, we are cautiously optimistic of this increased demand scenario, as it may taper down at some time in future. Also, we expect that the current margin could moderate with the arrival of fresh. The Indian government has now approved the continuation of RoSCTL till March 2024 with former rates. In the spinning business, yarn demand continues to be strong. As a result, higher prices are getting absorbed in the market. We are able to successfully execute our strategy and change the mix towards value-added segment. The process of demerger is on track. On 8th of July, the secured creditors has approved the scheme of demerger. The demerger is now expected to conclude by December 2021. I am proud to say that GSEL has been certified as a great place to work for the fifth year in a row. Also, GSEL Inorganic Chemical Division was recognized with a gold award for its manufacturing competitiveness by International Research Institute for Manufacturing India. Further, CARE has upgraded our long-term credit rating to AA-. At GSEL, we are agile, committed to our stakeholders and believe in long-term sustainable and profitable growth. I would now request Raman to share the financial performance.
Good evening and a warm welcome to all of you in our quarter one earning call for FY22. I hope all of you are well. I will share the financial highlights for the quarter ended 30th June 2021 and also discuss the segmental performance. There was some disruption in this quarter due to COVID pandemic. However, our business is operating with normalcy now. Revenue for Q1 FY22 came in at 854 crore as compared to 440 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, revenue increased by 4% from rupees 821 crore in Q4 FY21. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 189 crore, which is significant increase from rupees 84 crore from last year and declined by around 3% from 195 crore achieved in Q4 FY21. This was mainly due to increase in energy costs and the raw material costs. This represents an EBITDA margin of around 22.1% for the current quarter as compared to 19.1% from last year and 23.8% in Q4 FY21. The profit after tax for the quarter stood at 101 crore compared to 17 crore last year and 104 crore in the previous quarter. I will now share the segmental results. In the inorganic chemical segment, we have reported revenue of 527 crore during the quarter, which is substantially higher than rupees 346 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year. From quarter four, revenue declined by around 1% from 531 crore to lower sales volume but slightly better realization. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 112 crore as compared to 80 crore in the same quarter of the previous year and 142 crore of Q4 of the last year. There has been this decline in EBITDA compared to Q4 of the last year has largely been on account of cost increases in energy as well as salt cost increases during the quarter, which resulted in lower margin. We have taken two price increases in the month of June and July. The benefit of these hikes will be realized in the coming months. The performance of our textile division has been very robust. Revenue for the current quarter stood at 327 crore compared to 94 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year. On a sequential basis, revenue increased by 13% from 290 crore. EBITDA for Q1 came at 77 crore, which is a substantial increase from rupees 4 crore in the same quarter of last year. Also, EBITDA increased by 44% from 53 crore achieved in Q4 of FY21. This translates into a EBITDA margin of 23.5% for the quarter versus 18.4% achieved in Q4 of last year. This robust performance is across both home textile as well as spinning business. Despite the disruption in quarter due to COVID-related restrictions in the month of April and May, we generated a cash profit of 135 crore. As on 30th June, our net debt equity stands at around 0.3:1. And net debt EBITDA is 1:1. As mentioned by our managing director, long-term credit rating has been upgraded to AA-. So we are now in a AA bracket. Previously our rating was A+. This upgrade represents the strength of our balance sheet and will further help us to reduce our finance cost. With this, I conclude my comments and now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on your numbers. You know, if you could just run us through the kind of dynamics which we are seeing in the soda ash market in terms of demand, supply, and pricing.
Yeah, Riteshi, good evening, and thank you for your appreciation. My understanding about the soda ash is that the cycle of soda ash is now on the upside because of a couple of reasons. The overall the demand globally has been very robust. Any part of the world, China, US, Europe, everywhere the demands are very robust. Frankly speaking, in China, now they have reduced their exports to a great extent, and now there is a possibility of the import happening to China. So overall, the way I look at it, the scenario of demand supply, whereas on the other side, on the supply side, last 2 years, there was not much new addition of the supply had come in. And because of this demand supply, the scenario will be better going forward. Second, the international trade also will get some restrictions because of the supply chain cost has been significantly higher, and even availability of the supply chain mod is also somewhere got impacted. So that also has a benefit to the local producers in that same country. Of course, on the other side, the cost of all the commodities, coal prices, your coke prices, which is again energy, has been significantly internationally higher, and that will also have an impact on overall, cost. In India, probably the salt prices are also on the rise because this year, because of the unseasonal rains across the India, the salt production is also on the lower side. So that will also push the prices of the salt in India. Overall costs are significantly going up, but on the other side, my understanding, like you have seen, two price increases have already been taken. I see that the trend of price going upward should continue.
Got it. And a net-net, keeping into account the price increases and RM pressure as well, do we expect to see some sort of expansion in EBITDA actually spreads?
Honestly, the volatility in the raw material prices are so high. Like, I can clearly, visibly see the uptrend in the prices of the final product. But on the volatility of the raw material, particularly the energy prices, are really making it difficult for us to guess how the scenario will look like. But yes, if I lay current scenario, if I look at maybe in a quarter one or quarter two, means I'm talking about the next quarter or quarter later, probably some improvement in the margin should be seen.
Got it. Understood. And so the other question was with regards to, you guys have a large amount of spinning, and we are also hearing from a lot of players that the spinning is at a record spreads. You know, is that something which we are also experiencing? And if you could sort of explain to us whether you see this continuing for the actually next few quarters.
No, Riteshi, you are right on one side that the current scenario of the spinning is very buoyant. The margins are really very good in the spinning, particularly primarily because of the very high demand of the yarn. And some of the mills have gotten advantage of the lower cotton prices because that has been covered during the period when the prices of the cotton was low, and we were part of one of them. Overall, the demand of the spinning will continue to be good, my understanding. However, my understanding is spinning margin will have some, they will not be able to achieve the similar margin what you have right now. There will be some reduction in the margin because the new crop, not Indian crop, including the global crop, all the crops or all the cotton, the prices have significantly gone up. So because of this two scenario, probably, but margin will still be very healthy in the spinning going forward.
Got it.
Because I was
last
in the report just now, in the Chinese report, by this report I can say that there will be a lot of buoyancy in the yarn market going forward as well.
Got it. And just the last question is with regards to effectively, is there any update on the other actually like growth areas that you had indicated that you guys were looking at?
Yeah, it is all we know that a couple of things which we are looking at. First of all, sodium bicarbonate. I just want to give an update on the sodium bicarbonate. One good news is that one of the consumers of sodium bicarbonate for the flue gas treatment has started using a small amount of sodium bicarbonate for the flue gas. So that will give a good opportunity for sodium bicarbonate consumption going up significantly. We have already decided, and the project is already under discussion, of expanding our sodium bicarbonate to double the capacity from here. That is number one. Second, I want to update the investors on our greenfield project. As I have been mentioning in the past, the land acquisition was in the process. Now finally we have submitted the application to the government of Gujarat for getting these lands registered in our name, and we have filed the application for the greenfield, environmental clearances. That means, in a summary, I can say that we have started the greenfield activity aggressively. And so that's the second thing that also will bring the growth going forward. As you all know, the spinning, we have already taken a project of 40,000 spindle, which is approximately around 200 crores, and plus the green energy of solar power. That is also on track, and that will get completed by this year end. So that means next year you will see almost around 40,000, means we are talking about 20% of our spinning capacity will go up next year. And so overall, you will see a good growth next year in the textile in terms of the volume. And sodium bicarbonate, of course, it will take some time. By July 2022, probably the sodium bicarbonate expansion will get completed. And greenfield, like I said, greenfield project is on track. Now, coming to the expansion of the basket of the product, we are still in the process of, we have engaged a lot of experts on this area. We are really carefully analyzing various opportunities. And as soon as we be clear that which segment we should be going, because we are looking at something for the long-term perspective, we don't want to take any decision on a hurry. We are seeing many opportunities, and based on that, we will come back to you as soon as we decide as which area of the product basket expansion we are going.
Thank you, sir. That's extremely helpful. I'll join back to you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Shah from Dhanki Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, and congratulations on the very good numbers. Sir, if you can share the average realization, that we are selling for soda ash just now, because you mentioned that we have taken a price increase in June and July. So our realizations are now above 18 or 20,000 now.
First of all, the price as compared to the last quarter, the price has gone up by approximately around 2%. But as I mentioned to you, that the price increase has been taken only in the middle of June, in a way, you can say. So all this impact of the first price increase and the second price increase will be seen in this quarter. Of course, as you know, some of the contracts are on an annual basis, some of the contracts are on a quarterly basis. The full benefit of this probably will take some time, but improvement in the realization, because broadly we have taken around 12% of the price increase overall. So probably next one or two quarters you will see the price increase will give an advantage of around 10 to 12% of the price increase.
Sure. And sir, you mentioned about the strong demand in soda ash. And you also specifically mentioned about flat glass, but if you can also, you know, kind of throw some more light on that particular segment. Also, I think, you know, we had applied for ADD on Russia and Iran. So any update on that?
Yeah, first of all, on the ADD on Russia and Iran, still it is under, I would say, under investigation of DGAT. And so far as the, you spoke about the demand in the, see, like everybody knows, the flat glass, there is a significant improvement overall in the demand of flat glass. One of the reason is that the lot of competition which was coming from the import because of the anti-dumping duty imposed on Malaysia, the demand of the flat glass, domestic players' demand has gone up very significantly.
Right.
Number two, the overall, the demand in the construction and automobile has also been quite good. So there the demands are much better than the pre-COVID level also, if I can say so. Detergent, because of the some seasonal impact and the COVID impact in the first quarter, and maybe some impact will be there in this quarter, because generally the demand, detergent demand in the rainy season is slightly on the lower side. But you can say that detergent demands are more or less, it come back to the pre-COVID level. I just give you one data. We have just done a comparison of 1920 first quarter, which was a, you can say, normal pre-COVID level.
Correct.
Versus this quarter of 21-22, the demand is down by only 3%.
Okay.
And this 3%, you can say, because of the COVID also in April and May, second wave, all those things. So keeping that into mind, I would say that more or less the pre-COVID level situation has come. Whereas on the other side, the import has significantly gone down. The material coming from all across the globe has significantly come down.
So can you put a number to that? Because I think in the last call you had shared that there was, I think, a 25% drop in the entire last year in imports. So specifically for first quarter, so would you have some number, meaning what was the absolute volume ton drop or maybe percentage drop in imports?
Broadly, if you look at the drop, is around 5% as compared to the first quarter of last year. Sorry, 38% drop. 38% drop.
Sorry,
38%. Okay. And this, which was almost around in the Q1 2020, was approximately around the number
20 or quarter one the number.
Okay. 113,000 was the import. The import has gone up from 113 to 157 in Q1 versus Q122 by 38%. I'm sorry, I have said wrongly. 113,000 was the number in Q1 2021. In this quarter, the import is around 157,000. So number has gone up by 38%. However, as you know, in Q1 2021, there was a complete lockdown. Therefore, this comparison is not the right comparison. We are not making any comparison of any of our performance with the Q1 2021. Okay. If you look at Q4 21, if I can give you a total number of FY19, the total FY20, the total import was 9,36,000. In Q1 FY21, the total import was only 7,10,000. So right. There is a reduction of roughly around 2,20,000 tons or 2,25,000 tons of the import in FY20 versus FY21.
Which is around 22%.
Which is around 22%.
Right.
Our estimation is this year, this figure will be further lower. It will be in the range of around 6 lakh tons.
Right. So that means, sir, we would have also gained market share, or we are hoping to maintain a higher market share.
Yeah, so the, obviously the benefit will go to the
domestic industry. Right, right. And sir, some final thoughts on the, you mentioned about spinning, but on the textile front, home textiles, how is the demand, you know, environment? We already, I think, you know, we may have already started shipping for the festive season. So how is the demand and how do you see the outlook for the next, let's say, 4 quarters?
See, in the home textiles, the demand is really good. And let me tell you, in terms of our run rate, has significantly gone up. We are almost our run rate compared to the March 21. Our export percentage terms has gone up by 30%. That's number one. And we see that this trend should continue. This trend of run rate should continue. Home textile overall, I see, of course, there will be some pressure on the margin, like I said, because of the cotton prices going up. I'm talking only purely home textile, not the spinning. And because of, and the buyer, the way they will be giving, what you call, the increase in the pricing, of course, the entire industry has approached the consumer customers for increasing the prices. To what extent they get, probably that will be seen. But some margin drop in the home textile business should be seen, my understanding. Of course, on the other side, government has given that benefit of ROSTL. To some extent, that competitiveness will do. There is another good news which is likely to happen. Europe is looking at the preferential treatment to the Pakistan to be removed. And if that happens, probably that will create another window of growth opportunity for the home textile.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So first is, on the sodium bicarbonate side, that we are doubling our capacity. What is the capex which we're looking for in this year, FY22?
It will be around 50 crore, which is not very significant in terms of the overall production will go up by something around 60,000 to 70,000 tons, and the cost will be roughly around 50 crore.
Okay. And so we have also mentioned about 200 crore capex on the spinning side, 40,000 spindles. So what will be the rough economics in terms of this project? Kind of what kind of revenue margins are we looking for?
See, as you know that overall, if I look at slightly longer term, because any for any new project, you should be looking at not the immediate margin. Immediate margins are very high. But if I look at the longer terms of around 5 years, probably you can assume around 15% of margin, because we have been consistently getting on an average of around 15 to 17% margin on our spinning business. I am assuming that 15 to 17% margin will be there.
And the top line, sir, at the current price?
Top line at current price?
Top line, broadly you can say, see, broadly depends on, approximately around 1:1 ratio is always there. If you are putting 200 crores, you assume top line will be 200 crores, broadly.
Okay. And what kind of kind of plan are we going to manufacture with this incremental investment, because it seems that the per spindle cost is roughly around 50,000 rupees, which seems to be slightly higher given that it must be in the same premises. So if you can just give some color on what kind of yarn are we going to make with this incremental addition.
See, primarily this will be all value-added yarn on, and that too also on the synthetic side. And we are making 4 verticals into that, so that value-added yarn on a smaller lot can also be produced in that.
Okay. So this will be all synthetic, is it?
Synthetic cotton, synthetic mix, melange yarn, synthetic yarn, cotton, polyester cotton yarn, all those kind of value-added yarn.
Okay. Got it.
And let me also clarify one thing. In terms of the per spindle cost, it entirely depends on the average count what you produce. If you are producing a fine count, your preparatory requirement is very significantly lower and your per spindle cost will go down very significantly. But if you are going for a coarser count, your per spindle cost will be higher. That also depends on what kind of a technology we are using for producing that. So that entire thing, like if you are using compact or those kind of things, are also important. So my understanding, this 50,000 per spindle cost is a very reasonable cost for the kind of a 30-35 average count which we are planning to produce.
Actually, cost is 47.5, and this includes GST. We have not taken.
Achha, this, like Raman has clarified, this 47,500 is the precise cost per spindle, and this includes the GST also. We have not taken the benefit of the GST, refund of the GST in this.
Because, sir, if we just do a rough calculation, the working capital requirement also will be there in this project. And if we take 15-17% kind of margin, the return ratios post-tax comes to around 10-12% only. So I was not able to see the economics coming out of this project. Because 200 is capex, and then there will be working capital requirement. And if you take 15-17% margin on that, the IRR comes to around 10-11% only. After what IRR you are looking for from the project?
See, Mr. Rishan, like you rightly said, IRR will be definitely be lower than the 15-17%. But the way that our company is going on a value-added segment, like I have given you this number of 15-17% on our last 5-7 years of experience, probably this 15-17% could also be on the higher side. The spinning industry is always slightly volatile, as you all know. Okay. But the growth is also very important. And my capital cost at this point of a time, if you look at the return on equity on this investment, will be very, very good. So keeping that into mind and spinning the way we look at it, structurally there is an advantage. So I think investment into the spinning, and based on our experience in the past, I think investment into the spinning is always makes a lot of logical sense.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll understand the your thing. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you very much. Is it possible for you to give us the percentage share of soda ash consumption from automobile, construction and detergents in the first quarter of this year?
At this point of time, I don't have this ready data for this quarter. Probably we can share with you later on.
So broadly, if you see... where do you see the growth coming from? Would it be equally, split between auto construction and detergents? Given that these three sectors have different dynamics, both in terms of the COVID impact and then going forward, assuming the COVID goes away, because construction still has some structural issues. So in the next say 4 to 8 quarters, where do you see the growth coming from in terms of the if you were to run the three sectors, where do you see the growth coming?
There are two, three things. One, like I said, flat glass, we clearly see a growth. We also see a growth into the container glass, because now a lot of priority is being given on the packaging side, on the glass-based packaging. So we see a lot of growth in the container glass also. We also see a growth in the detergent also, because detergent, as you know, the hygiene has become more important. So that will also rise to the consumption of the detergent. So all across we see the growth in the demand. Second, like I said, supply chain. The major advantage you will be getting is the supply chain advantage you will be getting, because supply will be lower and the demand growth will be there. So that will also give you an advantage of the overall your market share or overall your volume.
Okay. The second thought is, how do you see the floods in Europe impacting the local supply and demand for soda ash, and that impacting the soda ash trade? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, at this point of a time, I would say that not much impact has been seen because of this. But overall, supply because of the supply chain restrictions, the supply from the import is lower.
And when you look at the first quarter, demand and supply, that this is net of whatever is the captive production and consumption by, say, Rohit Surfaction, which is one of the recent capacity additions. So that means going forward, that captive consumption of Rohit is not going to be materially impacting, the domestic merchant capacities like yours and products, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Dikshit Mittal from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. So my question is on soda ash segment, because historically we have seen that the margins have been basically in a range of 28% to 32% on a EBITDA level. But margins have come up quite sharply in last two quarters actually. So you highlighted the impact of cyclone as well. So what is the normalized margin, and with this price hike, so will be able to go back to that historical range in the near future?
Immediately in next one or two quarters, I don't think so. But like in the longer term, if you look at, probably it should be.
Okay. And sir, because if the demand supply is getting tight, so that means all the energy pressure cost should have been passed on, right? What is stopping in terms of getting normalized margins for the industry?
And like I said, demand supply is a major driving force, because that is the only thing which probably will be in our control. Energy prices, we don't know how the situation will look like in the near future. But my understanding is that even energy prices also in next one or two quarters should kind of should taper down. And whereas on the other side, on the soda ash side, probably the demand supply situation will be slightly on the medium terms to long term. So that should give an advantage of cycle going upward on the margin side.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Dhanyavaad, sir, for this opportunity. Namaskar, Jalanji, Raman Saab and the team. And congratulations, sir, for a very neat set of numbers, especially the home textile part. So just a very small clarification firstly, sir. You said that 12% price hike we have taken over the base price from last quarter, including June and July. 12% is that hike?
Yeah.
Okay, and the benefit of that would definitely improve the margins of what we have posted for the first quarter. July, August, September quarters will definitely be better because of this hike. When you were telling me it will take another two quarters for that to translate. So that was a understanding, sir.
See, basically two things. One is that the raw material prices had gone up, and that raw material prices impact will also be seen in the second and third quarter. So that will have it on the negative side of the issue. Second, like I said, this 12% increase will get translated into the 12% by for the two quarters, because there are a lot of contracts which are annual contracts or the quarterly contracts and things like that. So probably that will also gradually reach to 12%. So these two put together, probably your margin for next two quarters should be in the range bound.
Okay, but slightly higher than the first quarter. This is the bottom for us, at least as of now, because this also has 4 crore impact on the cyclone also, I think.
Yeah, but that cyclone impact, maybe, like I said, the salt prices have significantly gone up. Whereas okay. In the first quarter, we did not have that impact of the salt prices. So that will increase your salt prices. Okay.
Okay.
So 4 crore in the total figure is not a big number.
Not a big number, sir. Right, sir. On the home textile part, sir, ROSTL benefits, have we accounted for once the government have announced anything, or these are pure operational numbers, the PBT of 65 crore?
We have accounted for that number, and total 18.5 crores. Out of that 18.5 crores, 6.5 crores is relating to the March quarter. So if you remove that number for a minute, then your operational or your EBITDA margin comes to around 21%.
Okay. 65 minus 18.5.
No. Whatever the EBITDA is there, out of that you remove 6.5 crores. But the number which comes on that that EBITDA margin will be around 21.5% against 23.5% which has been given there. So 2% reduction in the margin because of that one-time benefit of March quarter.
One very small understanding, sir. Soda as other commodities, sir, as you have very rightly explained that first is the demand and then comes the supply. So, sir, as we are seeing in other commodities, is soda ash also, as per your experience, entering some kind of a new super bull cycle, or can we term it something like that? As we have seen in all commodities, the way the China Plus policy or the way the restrictions have happened, every commodity you name any one of them has entered into somewhat of a super bull cycle. So, sir, Abhi, depending upon the ground situation, are you seeing that sign that this is going to be a secular a price increased trend going forward, say for the near future, because no further new capacities are coming up?
See, Saketji, I can only say that the price trajectory is on the positive side, and you know that the world is so volatile at this point of a time because of the many disturbances. But yet, on the one side, the demand is on the rise globally. As you know, that approximately around 2 million tons of the soda ash growth of higher consumption is required every year. And the way the economic growth has been projected for across the globe, which clearly indicates that the demand of the soda ash will significantly go up, whereas in last 2-3 years, no new capacity has been added globally. So probably that should give some kind of a demand-supply disbalance. And that should definitely give us an upside on the soda ash pricing. Now, all depends on how the situation for the COVID remains, how the demand remains. But positive territory is something which I am seeing.
Thank you, sir. On the backward integration part, sir, in your presentation, it was mentioned that the limestone is 25% and salt is 35%. So going forward, what steps are you taking to improve this ratio, and what kind of capex or what is the strategy going forward, sir?
So in terms of the limestone, as you know, that it is the complete mining is in the part of government. Only thing what we are looking at is we are planning, we are in the process of executing a long-term contract with some of our strategic vendors on the limestone supply, so that the price volatility is being captured into that. On the salt side, our understanding is probably the way the new expansions of the salt is happening in the Gujarat, probably 22 probably will be slightly tight supply of salt, but 23 onwards the supply of salt will significantly improve, and that will soften the prices for the salt. At this point of time, earlier we were thinking about going for a long-term contract, but based on our understanding in the last few weeks, we decided to wait for some more time when the scenario of the salt becomes a lot more easier. At that time, we will be talking about the long-term contract of salt. We are also looking at an opportunity of some strategic investment in some of the captive salt, and for that we are working on.
Thank you. Mr. Kapoor, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Harsh Patel from Alpha Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, I wanted to understand what will drive the EBITDA margins in the soda ash business back to 30%. Because right now you have a rupee depreciation benefit from the import side, and this energy cost has gone up. So according to you, what can be the better scenario for EBITDA margins to drive back to 30%? Thank you.
The first and foremost, which is very important, is the demand supply, and that is giving to you price increase. Because as you have seen, a price has gone down from 21,000 to 18,000. So broadly, there is a 3,000 rupees price reduction happened in less last 1.5 years. So our expectation is this price of 3,000 should be recovered. That is number one. And the second is, like I said, overall your cost. So probably the most important thing for improvement in the EBITDA margin will be price driven. And the second is the way you control your cost competitiveness.
And then some higher volume.
But sir, you had just done a comparison of Q1 FY20 numbers to Q1 FY22 numbers, and you just said that there is a 3% drop in the overall demand. So that there's no problem on the demand side, I feel. So how do you see demand supply as a problem?
No, I've not said the demand supply is a problem. I said that demand is likely to be higher going forward.
Okay.
And once the demand is going to be on the higher side and the supply is going to be restricted, the demand-supply balance will give you an opportunity of increasing your prices. And on the other side, like I said, cost also has gone up. So these two things will give you an opportunity of increasing the price, and ultimately that will lead to you better margin.
Sir, what will be the spread between the domestic price and the import price, the landed price? At least in the percentage term, if you can share.
Import price. See, at this point of a time, I would say, we are in a commodity business. Normally, the prices of for the consumer is going to be the similar because they cannot give you higher price, barring the supply chain advantage of being delivered to them on a quicker basis. So the difference between a landed price to the consumer versus import versus the domestic, it could be in the range of around 3 to 5%.
So that's not a big difference for you to ask for an anti-dumping duty on soda ash then. 3 to 5% is. What are your thoughts on that?
See, anti-dumping duty is an exercise with one of the country where the government gives you a return on capital of 21%. If your return on capital is less than 21%, and if someone is dumping the material, of course they will be dumping the material at the price at which you are selling. But if that does not give you the sufficient margin, government protects you your interest. And in this whole scenario, we are talking about only Russia and Iran, from where the product which is coming is much cheaper.
Okay.
And that product is only a limited quantity. There is not a way out of the total import. Their percentage of import is lower.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anish Jubalia from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Hope my voice is audible. So just one question around the 12% price increase that we have taken. So one thing that I would like to understand is how much has been also the increase in the cost per ton. I mean, what I'm trying to get to is like the price increase that we have taken, is it only to cover the cost increase per ton that we have already witnessed up till now?
You can say that the way we are looking at the current cost, which may impact our cost in the next quarters or the quarter later, this 12% increase will, to a great extent, will offset the cost. So you are right on your assumption that the margin may not significantly improve by this price increase because of the cost pressure. That's why I said the 1 or 2 quarters, I don't see any major expansion in the margin.
Okay, but earlier that we were speaking about, we were seeing, you know, good opportunity for increase in our EBITDA per ton, say from H2 onwards. I mean, we did 5,000 rupees in the last quarter, which has further come down to say 4,300, 500. I mean, these are all approximate calculations. I mean, you have the exact ones, but I'm just trying to understand that. We are looking at an upward journey, but you know things are kind of going down. So, I mean, when do you expect, let's say, our 7,000 rupees EBITDA per ton that which we were doing earlier, given all this demand supply tightness that we are expecting? So, I mean, if you were to try to understand, given your experience in the industry, like, can we aim for say in FY22 itself? I mean. Or you think this is like more of a 3 to 4 year journey going forward?
No, I don't think it is going to be a 3 to 4 year journey. Like I said, currently the price increase which has happened is offsetting to a great extent the cost. But going forward, because of the supply chain and because of the demand supply situation, you will get an opportunity of further improvement in the prices. And that will lead to your margin expansion. Second, at this point of the time, the way the energy prices are, our understanding is that will also help because there are a lot of, in South Africa, there was some problem was there. Indonesia, there is a COVID situation. So this will get some neutralization in one or two quarters. And after that, the energy prices should also soften. So keeping that into mind, my understanding is after one or two quarters, you will start seeing the margin improvement into that. And next year, 2022-23, should be definitely be better in terms of the margin. And of course, all these things depends on the lot of volatility is there. So based on our experience, I'm giving you this this kind of a thought.
Thank you. Mr. Jubala, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from AUM Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on your number. So presently, 17% of the total revenue comes from export. Does the company plans to maintain the same?
No, surely. Frankly speaking, this would slightly go up. Because like I said, my run rate of export in the home, because the major exports happen from the textile, okay. And that run rate has gone up as compared to the last quarter to this quarter by 30%. And some improvement here should also be further will be there. So definitely this percentage should be maintained or slightly should go up. I just wanted to clarify one point to all the, my investors. As you all know, the soda ash has always been a margin of around 28% to 31%. I'm not taking the peak margin of 35%. In last 15 years, the margin has been in the range of around 28 to 31%. So there's no reason that after a few quarters, the margin should not go back to those numbers. Because if the trend has been seen in 15 years, there's no reason for that to go to those range. Of course, some temporary COVID and the supply chain and things like that.
So my next question is that what percentage of total revenue comes from top 5 customers, both in inorganic chemicals and textiles?
Oh, readily, I don't have the numbers. We can give you offline.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks a lot for taking my questions. So first question is, sir, if we disregard the margin and price increases hypothetically, then in the next 1 year, I think your SBC as well as your capex for spinning is going to come online after 12 months. So are there any volume triggers that we are seeing apart from the increase in the textile throughput, and in that regard, what is the capacity utilization that we are working currently?
See, if I understood your question, you see, like I said, one of the revenue growth we are looking at from the spinning, which will increase by around 20% volume growth. The second, we will be seeing the volume growth or the top line growth of the home textile as well next year, because my run rate has improved. So that will also be seen next year in the home textile. In soda, there is a 50,000 tons of the new brownfield expansion, which is likely to be completed this year, which is almost, you can say, around 5% of the total volume. All put together, you will have the volume growth next year. All these expansions will happen next year. Next year, 22-23, these kind of a growth you will be seeing. In addition to that, whatever the revenue growth because of the price increase and those kind of things will be in addition to that.
Understood, sir. And sir, what is the capex outlay for this year, and how is it getting funded between debt and equity?
So this year, approximately around, we are talking about around 450 crore kind of a thing. Out of that, like I said, spinning will have around 250 crore. 200 crores will be roughly around soda ash. Soda ash is primarily for this brownfield expansion. And this will get funded based on our cash. I don't think there will be very significant increase in our debt position.
Okay. If I understood your IRRs, which was alluding to a previous question on the textile capex, is it right that the project IRR might be 11-12%, but given the cost of debt for us maybe 6-7%, so hence our equity IRR still would be satisfactory at 18-19%?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Muralidhar Reddy, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wish you all of you safety in this pandemic, all of your company team members and your families. I have two questions. First question is, with the raw materials increasing, probably your working capital requirements will keep going up. So will the debt of the company will stay at the same level, or is it any going to go up, or is there any debt reduction plans?
No, Mr. Muralidhar, you are 100% right, because even in this quarter, if you look at my working capital requirement, has gone up. So the moment the prices of product is going up, your receivable goes up, your raw material prices goes up, your working capital requirement goes up. So you are right on that basis, that overall the total working capital requirement will go up. And our understanding at this point of a time, we don't see too much of significant increase in the debt. And we are also not seeing any reduction in the overall debt.
Thank you, sir. Second question is that can you give us some light on the raw material integration, because we have lost some captive resources in the early part. Now we really want to augment that. So what are our plans to do with that backward integration so that we are secure of raw material costs and also costs at the lower pace?
You're very right again, Mr. Muralidhar. This is one of the biggest, I would say, that priority for us, because for the chemical business, the first and foremost, which is very important, is the security of the raw material, and the volatility of the raw material can be captured. So one of the initiatives which we have done, of course, it is going to take slightly time. We are significantly making, I would say, investment and the process improvement in our captive salt production. Because of this your cyclone which has happened, definitely has made some impact on that plan. But overall, we want to increase our captive salt production by 30%. That is where the plan is, and that's one. Second, as I said, for the security of the raw material, limestone, we are looking at a long-term contract with some of the strategic vendors for a 10-year contract. That is under discussion. And once that happens, then the security of raw material will also be there, and that also will, price will also be secured on that. And that will be a very significant part of our limestone requirement. On the salt side, as I said, salt, we have been planning to go for a long-term contract to secure the supply. But since the salt prices are very high at this point of the time, we got advice that we should wait for some time. But our plan is two, the moment the price becomes normal, to increase or to do a long-term contract with some of the manufacturer of the salt at a fixed price. That is number one. We are also aggressively pursuing to the government of Gujarat to allot some of the land for salt production. So that will also help us to kind of have our captive consumption going up. Keeping all these things, probably we will be better secured on our raw material.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Mandava, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. One on soda ash business. So you mentioned the greenfield capex. So how long does it take for this new capex to be set up?
It's a very interesting question. You see, basically, that is where the opportunity also comes with the soda ash business. Any project when you conceive, it takes around 5 to 7 years to get implemented. In our case, we have already spent around more than 2 to 3 years time on this project in acquiring the land and getting a lot of studies of the environment completed. Now, from here onward, probably it will take another 3 years time to finally come with the production on the greenfield project.
Okay.
And that will also give an advantage in terms of our capex requirement will be, to a great extent, will get funded because of our cash generations in the next 3-4 years. And you know that the overall capex requirement will be rear-ended. So in first 1 or 2 years, there will be no major capex will be requirement. And in the later part, it will be there. By the time, our cash generation will justify that kind of investments.
Got it. Thank you. And the second question is about the debt. How is the debt split between chemicals and textiles? I'm asking more from the demerger point of view, just to understand how is the debt being divided.
At this point of a time, our debt, overall debt, just give me a second. 787. Total debt is around 787 crores. Out of that, the soda ash is roughly around 468 crores and textile is around 319 crores.
Okay, and this includes working capital debt as well?
Everything. This debt means everything.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. That's all from my side. Congrats and thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify one point which has been asked for on IRR on our spinning project. IRR is around 14%.
Yeah. That is a working now we've taken over.
We have a working, we have just opened our working. The way we have planned for this investment and the way that we are looking at the profitability, the IRR will be around 14%.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Bajla, individual investor. Please go ahead. Varun Bajla,
hello.
Your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. My question was with regards to the demerger scheme that is currently planned and for which we have already received approval from the secured creditors. Are there any other challenges that we look at in terms of procedures or permission from authorities as far as the demerger is concerned?
I don't think so.
So, by when do we see this entire demerger getting completed and do we have any record date in mind for this particular demerger?
See, all depends on the way the NCLT gives an approval and probably our internal target is around December. December it should happen.
All right. Okay. And post the demerger, do we see any re-rating of the debt? Because currently I believe the debt would be rated based on the cash flows of both the businesses. After the demerger and the debt is also split between both the companies, do we expect a downgrade or an upgrade in the debt based on the cash flows of individual companies?
Surely we will be looking at an upgrade.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhimanyu Ola, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my question and congratulations for such a great set of numbers. My question is regarding the soda ash segment and I was just seeing how the soda ash production is done. So I believe that we are using carbon dioxide as one of the raw material.
We are using not carbon dioxide, we are using the limestone and we are using the salt. Of course, from the limestone you get the CO2.
So, because of this, like the using the boiler we end up emitting a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So my question is that is our company doing any carbon capturing right now?
Yeah, we have already working on carbon neutral, and if you look at our balance sheet, you'll see that we have taken targets on our carbon emission, and we are also in the process of putting a lot of green energy investments into the business, and that will reduce our carbon footprint. So the management is very, very conscious about the carbon footprint into the business. But of course, being a chemical industry, we definitely have a carbon emission into the system. But a lot of focus is being given on the reducing the carbon footprint into the business.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of A. Ananda from PGIM India. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So this is a question related to your textile business. In your textile business, could you give a breakup between yarn versus soap textiles, either in terms of revenue or in terms of volume terms, and give a broad idea of how the margins between the two would have varied for this quarter?
See, we take this, both these business together, and we always have the joint number, because a lot of yarns are getting sold internally, inter-unit transfer, and therefore the numbers broadly, consolidated number will only be the meaningful. However, just to give you a perspective, the margin in both the businesses are reasonably good, both on the home textile as well as into the spinning.
And large part of the home textiles would be exported?
Sorry?
Hello?
Sorry, can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, would large part of your export revenues be constituted from home textiles?
Yes.
Okay, so can that be, that indirectly can be taken as a proxy as contribution of home textiles to the overall textile revenues?
I don't know. I'm not understood your question.
No, I was just thinking that entire part of your home textiles would be exported. That would be the broad understanding, or it's
right.
Domestic sales in home textiles as well.
No, you are right. In terms of the home textile, a large portion is on the export front. Okay, in the spinning also, there are exports are happening in the spinning also. We export to many parts of the country, Bangladesh, Europe, and things like that. Even in soda ash also, some portion of export is happening.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. As I have always been repeating our commitment to the investors, that we as a management will always do our best in the current context of making sure that we give a right return on our capital by keeping all the compliances, all the sustainability goal into our domain. We always say we want to grow responsibly. And growth is going to be our driving force going forward. And surely we will be able to deliver on that expectation also going forward. Thank you very much to all of you for participation. And take care of yourself and your family in this pandemic situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.